Now, quickly, let's turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. We are going to look at something very simple, but very, very profound. Something that can make the difference between our succeeding in our walk of faith or failing in our walk of faith. Because this walk of faith is going to be met with great challenges. Why? Because the adversary, the devil, knows that everyone that lives by faith and walks by faith is going to be blessed of God, both in this life and in the one to come. And the devil doesn't want to see anybody blessed. He's the spirit of sorrow. He doesn't like seeing people rejoicing. You know, when you are blessed, you'll be rejoicing. And that hurts him so much. But when you are sorrowful, the devil is happy. I got that one where I want him. But you see, when we understand the ways of God, when opportunities present themselves for us to make the right choices and look at things from God's perspective and rejoice even in the midst of adversity, then we put the devil to shame and we bring honor and glory to God. No wonder the Bible says in James chapter 1 verse 2, which we all know very well, my brethren, he says, talking to Christians, count it all joy. Did he say count some of those experiences joy? He said count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. In other words, those temptations are opportunity to try your faith, pass it through the fire, so to say, like gold is passed through the fire so that it can come out on the other side pure and perfect gold. You and I know that gold, when it is mined, has impurities in it. But the goldsmith passes it through the fire to burn out the impurities. And then the pure gold will come out. The fire, the test of the fire is what purifies the gold. And for us as Christians, Bible says the trying of our faith purifies us to produce the character of God in our lives. Patience is God's character. The world is an impatient place. Everybody is always in a hurry. But God is patient. And you never develop patience unless you go through trials. You don't develop patience by just going to Galatians chapter 5 and reading. Now the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Oh, that's good. Patience. Beautiful patience. Fruit of the Spirit. I'm a Christian. I have patience. Well, you have the potential for patience. You don't have patience growing in your life yet. The potential is there, but you need to develop the potential so that the fruit can begin to manifest. That's the way it works. Otherwise, you find yourself, even as a Christian, as impatient as anybody else. That's why we have to understand these things. Hallelujah. Trials are necessary for us as Christians. And the way to live this Christian life is what we're about to see here. A wise Christian lives by faith and by hope, according to the word of God, because faith and hope go together. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. That was how Jesus endured the cross. If you study the Bible in Hebrews chapter 12, Bible says Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. In other words, he went through the suffering, looking ahead of the suffering to what will come at the end of the day. If you as a Christian can't see beyond your present situation at what lies ahead, then you are not seeing correctly. Because the present situation is not the end for you. God is your end. And God has already prepared a glorious end for you and I as Christians. The devil doesn't want us to see it that way. He wants us to focus on what we are going through right now, get discouraged, and give up. And some Christians even backslide when adversity comes against them. Some even question God. And some do what Job's wife told him to do, curse God and die. But Job was wiser than that. Job said, even though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. When we understand that God has an hand for us, He has a destiny for us. We are not a people that are just going through life by accident. There's a definite purpose, a definite destiny for us, even before we were formed in our mother's womb. Then we'll be ready to go through every setback that comes our way presently with joy, knowing that we are on the way to somewhere better. We are on the way to a glorious end. So it doesn't matter whether the terrain is rough, whether the going is tough. What I'm going forward into will make me forget all the pains of the journey to that place. There's an end for us as Christians. It is beyond our wildest imagination. It is so glorious, so blessed, that we don't have enough human vocabulary to describe it. Jesus simply said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. But the little we read about that place in the book of Revelation makes us want to say, oh God, I don't want to miss this place for anything. I'll walk on the streets of gold. I'll live in a mansion that God is the builder of. And everything God builds is perfect. I won't need a plumber coming to fix my drain. Your drains will never be blocked. I won't need a builder coming to repair cracks in my building. God's building is perfect house. Hallelujah. And it's a mansion. Oh, glory to God. And you are going to eat food that you don't need to go to the kitchen to cook. You just go to the tree and pluck it and eat it. Fresh. 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 Isn't that wonderful? Deuteronomy chapter 8. So this will encourage every one of us. It doesn't matter what you have been through in life. Doesn't matter what you are going through right now. Please listen to this simple truth. It will help you to reassess everything and to actually begin to rejoice in God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. For the sake of time, I'll pick it from verse 14. I'll encourage you to study the whole chapter on your own. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'll pick it from verse 14. Or better still, let me just pick it from verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. So God was warning the children of Israel through Moses ahead of time. Now, okay, I'm taking you into the promised land, the place I've promised you. But when you get there, be careful. Don't forget about me. Why? God knew that it was easy for them to forget him because of the world around them. And it's the same thing for us as Christians today. Because of the world and the challenges of everyday living, we can easily forget God. But it's good for us not to. Because in not forgetting God, we'll be able to have the right perspective to our daily lives. Now let's drop down to verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy father knew not, that he might humble thee? Please underline that in your Bible. God fed them with manna to humble them. How? In other words, to help them realize that they were under the hand of God, and God, who is higher than them, knows how to look after them. Because manna came from heaven, none of them understood what manna was. That was why they named it manna. But later, Bible helps us to understand that manna is actually angelic food. God brought it from heaven to feed his people. The meal that will make them never to go sick. eating the manna, none of them were fasting. For when they had the manna, Bible says they were walking barefooted, and yet their feet were not swollen. Their dress did not wax old. They never fell sick one day. But when they decided that they didn't want manna again, they wanted the food like Egypt. Problem began for them. He said, God gives us the best. But the world has taught us to want the ways of the world. And that's why many Christians today are still missing God. It's God's best for their lives. God's best is the best. You can't get anything better than that. Now, let's read on. And that he might prove thee. Ha! So, two reasons why God brought them manna from heaven. Number one, to humble them, to let them know that God, whose throne is in the heavens, is a God who cares for his people here on earth. And we can look to him and he will never fail us. And then secondly, to prove them. The word prove there literally means to try them or to test them. It's not a negative testing like the devil brings temptation now. It's actually to be seen as an opportunity to prove your faithfulness to God. Because God doesn't tempt any man with evil. We have to understand that very clearly in the Bible. Bible tells us that in James chapter 1. God doesn't tempt anyone with evil. But God would allow trials to come our way to help us prove our faithfulness to him. Because he already has a plan to get us out of the trial anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says there is no temptation that is befalling us that is not common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted more than we are able. But along with the temptation, it makes a way of escape for us that we may be able to bear it. So we see that God already has plans, even though the devil is planning to use his trials and his temptation to destroy us, God has a plan to use the same thing to bring blessings our way. The devil thinks, okay, by bringing these trials your way, it's going to destroy you. But God takes the same trial and uses it to produce something good for your life. Many of us don't see our trials that way. That's why we sit down when the trials come and we feel sorrowful all day long. We begin to eat the bread of sorrows. We can't even go to sleep at night. Yeah, Bible says God gives his beloved sleep. But we are meditating on the trouble. So the devil got us in a corner and we are responding exactly the way he wants us to respond. No. When the trials come, if you begin to dance and celebrate, the devil will say, oh, I made the greatest mistake in going to this one. Hey, my plans have failed. I've got him rejoicing and praising God. Oh, God is going to bless him more than even before the problem now. Oh, I've made the mistake. Why? The devil will begin to feel sorrowful. Say, oh, why did I go to this one now? God is going to bless him more. Don't you understand the devil knows the Bible? What happened to Job at the end? More blessed than before. So all that the devil did to him brought him to a place of better blessings. Because Job was faithful to God in the midst of the trial. You see, the test that God allows the trial to bring our way is the opportunity to prove our faithfulness to him. And then God will bless us more than we would have been blessed if we didn't go through what we are going through. So you can begin to see your trials as opportunity to be more blessed by God. All I need to do is be faithful. And that's what we are looking at this morning. What do you need to do when those trials come? Hallelujah. But before we look at that, look at what it then goes to say. To do thee good at thy latter hand. Please underline that in your Bible. That's why I said at the beginning, we have to be able to see the hand. Rather than the present or the past. Many of us focus on the past and the present and we are discouraged and we don't even have energy to go forward in life. Yet, the best lies ahead of you. Imagine what would have happened to Job if while he was going through his affliction, he gave up on God. He would not have got to that end of blessing. So when the trials come, Look beyond the trials. Begin to see an end that lies ahead, which God will bring you into, which will make you better than you would have been if you never went through the trial. The trial actually is a stepping stone to greater blessings for your life, if you do the right things and honor God while you are in it. Begin to see why the Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of trial. Because blessings will come your way. God will bless you. Oh, he will bless you when you are faithful to him in the time of trouble. Because that's a sacrifice you are making. Left to you in the flesh, you will never please God. You even curse him and backslide. But you remain faithful in the midst of trials. Oh, God will reward you. Oh, hallelujah. Even in Jesus' preaching on the mount, did he not say, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake and for the sake of the gospel? He said, great! He didn't say, you are just going to have reward. He said, great! It's your reward in heaven. In other words, for going through the suffering and remaining faithful to me, you have great reward. So God is going to do you good at your latter end. Well, you can begin to say to yourself right now, or say to your afflictions, the troubles you are going through in your life, trouble, you are working for me a better hand. Glory to God, because God is going to turn it around for good for me. And when you begin to say that, the devil will begin to have heartache every day. In fact, when you wake up, the devil will just have heartache. I don't know whether he has a heartache. You make him have a bad day. You have a good day. Because the devil wanted you to have a bad day. But you wake up and say, oh God, thank you for all the trials in my life. Oh, that they are working for me to bring me to a better hand because I'm trusting in you. You know how to turn them around for good for me. Because he said, you will do me good at my latter hand. So, it's not about my past. It's not about my present. It's about the future that you have for me. And that's what I'm pressing on into, knowing that you are with me to get me there. Glory to you in the highest. Praise you. Hallelujah. I don't care how many trials are in my life. I just care about you, oh God. Glory. I'm living for you. Hallelujah. Oh, the devil says, well, this one discovered the truth. He is free. I can't bind him. He is free. Hallelujah. Quickly, also turn with me to Job chapter 42. We all know the account in the Bible of Job. But Job was faithful. Then I'll give you what you need to do while you are going through trial. And you go home and study the scriptures. I'll give you the points and give you the scriptures. Because I don't just want to leave you with information. I want to give you the application from the word of God as well. So that you know exactly how to apply the word of God to your life when you are going through all kinds of trials and all kinds of troubles in order to get to the good hand that God has for you. But we see the hand here. We all know that the tempter in the life of Job was not God, but God allowed the tempter to come to him. Isn't that so? So God is not behind our temptations. The devil is the one behind them, but God will allow those things to come because it will work how good for us if we do the right thing. If we do the right thing. Job chapter 42. Let us read from verse 10 to 12 together. Let's go. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an hearing of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter hand of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses. Hallelujah. If anybody has this number today, they will be so rich. So you begin to see how the end of Job was better than his beginning. Because Job was faithful to God in the time of affliction. Quickly turn with me to Romans. Or better still, James chapter 5. Let's just look at one scripture. Then I'll give you the points and we look at Romans and just pray. That's all. We just pray and go. But let's turn to James chapter 5 because that's one of the things we need to understand. When the trial has come, oh, don't turn away from God. Don't turn away from Him. Don't backslide from God. Don't stop reading the Bible. Don't stop coming to church. Many Christians make that mistake. When trials come their way, you don't see them come to church anymore. And then you say, oh, well, we don't see you. I'm going through hard times. When you are going through hard times, that's when you need to come. That's when you need to come more. If you are coming once before, and now hard times come, you should double it and begin to come at least twice as much because you need help from God. But that's when they backslide and they think that they are justified in their action. James chapter 5, we all talk about the troubles of Job. We talk about his afflictions. We talk about all these things, but we don't talk about the faithfulness of Job in his affliction that made God to walk and turn things around and make the latter end of Job better than his beginning. James chapter 5, I'll just read verses 10 and 11. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. You are suffering and you are patiently suffering. You are long suffering. Suffering long and patiently. Because you know there is an end coming. Glory to God. Verse 11. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the hand of the Lord. There's an end that will come to you when you go through those afflictions with patience. In fact, I love what the psalmist said. You can note that down, note the verse down, and you look it up on your own later. Psalm 119, verse 71. I love that verse of scripture. I love it so much because it encourages me all the time. The psalmist said there, it is good that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. In other words, afflictions can make you draw closer to God to know God better. Isn't that wonderful? If you handle the afflictions with the right attitude. Some people, when they are afflicted, they move away from God. But a wise Christian will draw closer to God. And you get to know God better. You come to the place of communion with God better than anybody else. Because in moments like that, actually God draws closer to you. He's your comforter. And you begin to experience His presence very real. In real ways. More than before. That's why the psalmist said it is good. Actually, my afflictions have produced good for me. It is good that I have been afflicted that I might learn the statutes of God. Praise God forever. Now, please write this down. So when the trials come, between the time of the trial, between the time you are going through all your setbacks, maybe setbacks that you've been through in the past that is a carryover into the present. Because many of us have some problems in the past that has carried over into the present. Whatever, whether it's just presently arising or carryover from the past, any trouble in your life. These are the things you need to do in order to get to that good end. And be like Job. Experiencing blessings beyond his imagination after the afflictions. So these are the things to do. Number one, you need to choose to be patient or enduring. To be patient doesn't mean you fold your hands doing nothing. It simply means you keep standing your ground in faith and not give up. That's what biblical patience is all about. Biblical patience is not idleness. It's very active. It's actively standing. For instance, Eve, declaring, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, And yet the sickness is still there. The symptoms are still there. It's like they are not going. Well, what am I going to do? Am I going to look at the symptoms and stop confessing by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed? No, patients will tell me, well, you don't give up on God's word. It doesn't matter whether the symptoms are there or not. I go by the truth. The word of God cannot lie. God already healed me anyway. 2,000 years ago, Jesus carried the sickness. So what I have is just the lie of the devil, the symptom that the devil wants to use to distract me from the blessing of healing and health that is mine in Christ. So I refuse to allow the devil to win. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith and get the glory of God on the sickness in my life in this situation. So I'll keep declaring, by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. By the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. That's what patience is all about. You keep doing what you are supposed to be doing without stopping. That's what patience is all about. Endurance. You keep doing it without giving up. Hallelujah. So, number one, patience or endurance, right in front of that, James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11. And then make a note under that heading, just for you when you are studying, because I want to help you to see this patience in a setting in the Bible, in the life of Job. So this entails faithfully remaining in faith. That's what it means to be patient. It means you faithfully remain in faith. You don't stop. And in front of that, please write the scripture, Job chapter 23, verses 10 and 11. Study that when you get home. I love what Job said there. This is a man. Job 23, verses 10 and 11. I love what Job said in that place, because this is a man going through affliction. A man that everybody had deserted. A man that had lost everything. Lost his children. Lost all his possession. His wife also came to him and told him, I'm leaving. You curse God and die. I can't stay with you anymore. You don't look like a human being. You are full of sickness. You don't even look good. Just curse God and die. You are better dead than living. I'm sure that woman left him. So Job was left alone, Bible says. Even his friends couldn't come close to him. They were afar. And saying, oh man, you know, people will judge you when you are going through trouble. They had all things to say about it. You say you're a righteous man, you better stop fooling yourself. If you are righteous, you shouldn't be going through all these things. See, people will say all kinds of things. That's why Job had to pray for them later. Because they were all ignorant people. When you are going through trial, people have things to say about you. You better don't listen to them. They are just like the friends of Job. Even some Christians will judge you wrongly. They say, well, you must have done something wrong. That's why you're having this problem. My Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Not sinners now. Because the devil will cause you trouble in order to stop you from getting to the expected end. It's left to you to say, well, devil, you are a failure in my life. You can't succeed. Because I'm not going to back down. I'm going to remain faithful. I'm going to remain patient. Because I know God has an hand for me. And my hand will be better than before all these problems came my way. That's how to see it. And that gives you encouragement to press forward in the midst of the trial. And then second thing you need to do, again, is just two things. Two things. So we see here that you need to just maintain your place of faith and not give up. Which means stay in the word of God. Stand your ground in the word. And keep standing in that word until the end. Don't stop. And then second thing to do is to pray. And there are two levels of prayer here. Many of us only do one. We neglect the other, and it's not going to work. There are two levels of prayer when you are going through trouble. Because every one of us, when we go through trouble, we, in our own thoughts, have some people, in quote, to blame. Because we feel these people are part of my problem. Isn't that so? You know, thoughts like that in the sight of God are no good thoughts. Jesus said, pray for them that persecute you and despitefully use you. Don't even ask God for vengeance against them. God knows what to do without you asking. Turn with me quickly to Matthew chapter 5. Let's hear from the head of the church himself. You see, under the old covenant, they did things because they had no knowledge that we have today. The Holy Spirit is the one that has brought us knowledge into all truth. They didn't have that under the old. Only a few of them who walk closely with God had some level of knowledge, but even the knowledge they had is not as much as you and I should have today. But unfortunately, even many of us as Christians don't have as much knowledge as those who lived under the old covenant, because we are not spending time in the Word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There's a condition there. You can't just know the truth just like that. No, you have to continue in the word. Matthew chapter 5, for the sake of time, I'll just pick it from verse 43 so we can see it in context. You have heard. Notice now Jesus is saying, well, you've heard. This is the way you live. You've heard it. This is the way. But it's wrong. You've heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. How many people know that that's how we are in the flesh? We all carry about some little books in our heart where we've written people down. Some are in the black book. Some are in the white book. And it's in our heart there. How come white and dark is in your heart? The only thing that should be there is white. No dark at all. In God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. You have to be like your father in heaven. Don't have any dark book in your heart at all. Don't have any person's thoughts dark in your heart. Think of everybody good, no matter what they do for you. Think good towards them. Because that's how God does. And Jesus is clear about it. This is the way to live as Christians, because we are followers of Christ. So again, it says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you for a reason. Verse 45, you see, if we don't read it with that verse, we don't understand what Jesus is saying. It says that you may be the children of your Father, which means God's ways are different from the ways of the world. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, the head of the church, says we need to be like our Father, not like the world. Okay? So just do good. Oh, they are doing me evil, I repay them with good. That's all. They hate me, I will pray for them and bless them. Wonderful. Alright, so two levels of prayer. Let's round up. Number one is to pray for those who have wronged you. If you don't pray for them, you won't get to that latter hand of good. You just can't get there. You can't. Job could not have experienced the double fold blessing that he experienced without first praying for all his friends that spoke evil against him. See the key? Bible says God turned the captivity of Job around when he prayed for his friends. So the prayer for God to forgive them was necessary for Job to be blessed. You see how Jesus also had to pray that prayer on the cross, even though he was in agony, suffering? In front of that place, write Job 42 verse 10. And the scripture we just read now, Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 45. And finally, the second level of prayer you need to pray is for the Holy Spirit's intervention and help. So just ask the Holy Spirit to intervene and help. Don't tell him what to do. You are not the one to tell God what to do. Let's say, God, avenge me. No. Just pray, roll the keys on the Lord. God knows what to do. He knows better than you. Hallelujah. He knows the motive of the heart of the person who has wronged you. You don't know the motive. The person may be under delusion. They didn't really intend to do what they've done against you, but somehow they are under the influence of the enemy. God knows. And he knows how to do what he needs to do. That's why the Bible says, don't judge. Leave the judgment to God when it comes to people. You may judge what they are doing that is wrong, but don't judge the person. Leave the person in the hands of God. So pray for the Holy Spirit intervention or help. Romans chapter 8 verses 26 to 28. Let's turn there and then we just pray for the next couple of minutes. Whatever your problems are, your troubles in the past and the present, well, there's a future for you that is good. To do you good at your latter hand, God said. And the Holy Spirit is the one that will help you get there. You can't carry yourself there. Only the Spirit of God. Because he searches the deep things of God. He knows how to bring you to that good hand when you allow him to help you. But if you think you know what to do, the Holy Spirit is going to fold his hands and leave you to your devices. And then you are going to mess things up more and more and mess it up more and more and cause yourself more and more problem because you are messing it up more and more. Let's roll it on the Lord and say, Holy Spirit, you know what to do. I give you full control. Thank you. Thank you. I'm just going to pray because I don't want to mess up and say wrong things in prayer. I'm just going to pray in the Holy Ghost with other tongues because I don't want to say wrong things. So that while I'm praying, my emotion don't take over. And I find myself saying, God, make their place in hell to be the hottest. And yet I'm in prayer. Because I'm pouring out the bitterness in my heart. No, sometimes you see when you're in trouble like that, it's better not to just use your human language. Because you can say the wrong things. And say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray for them. Oh, help me to pray for this situation. Oh, God. Why? Because Bible says so. He knows how to help me to pray according to the will of God. I won't miss it when I pray in other tongues. Romans 8, 26 to 28. Let's read together. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Those things will work together for good when you get the Holy Spirit involved. Don't read verse 28 in isolation. Many Christians do that and they mess it up. When something is sent by the devil, it is not meant to work for your good. And you can't turn it for good by your own strength. Only God can. When the devil brings sickness on your body, it's not bringing the sickness to give you long life. It's bringing the sickness to shorten your life. So there's no way that can work for good. But when you get God on the scene, like Job got God on the scene for himself, God can then intervene and turn it around for good so that your latter hand is good, even though the devil intended it for evil. That's how it works. So you pray and let the Holy Spirit take over. He will do the rest. Hallelujah. Let's just, I know our time is gone. Let's just pray in other tongues for the next couple of minutes. No matter what troubles we've been through in life, no matter what we are going through right now, we don't focus on the past. We don't focus on the present. We look ahead to the future that is glorious, the end. So let's rise up and let's make this confession. And then we just pray and let the Holy Spirit help us in Jesus' name. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that I've heard this morning. It is the truth because you cannot lie. Therefore, I choose to be a doer of your word and not hearer only. I know that every trouble in my life that I have been through and that I'm going through right now, you can turn them around for my good at my latter hand. And so, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray accordingly. I declare in faith that I believe that there's a good hand for me ahead. I look away from the past and the present. I pray for those who have wronged me. And I say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they were doing. And now, Lord, blessed Holy Spirit, I ask for your intervention. Help me to pray according to God's perfect will, that my latter hand in all these troubles of life will be good according to God's word. Because you are the one who performs the word of God with signs following. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping me in Jesus' name. Amen. So go ahead and pray in other tongues for the next couple of minutes. Go pray beke la handa. Lupre meke steparondo sekla na handaya. O rababa hato ko prebeke leboski. Brondi esko teraninga la mahanda. Roma ye ke probo sepalagina henta promongo doso. Ni enkaka la mahanda. Le promo samaki e keke lebokuri amokea. Ondrosima hanta boko proboku li e keke la handa. Non ronissimi neanche alle mahata o premenge de sia kala mahanda. We cast our burdens upon you, as you said we should do, knowing that you care for us, dear Lord. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit takes over. And we want you to know, dear Lord, that we will stand our place in faith and patience until the good hand shows up for us. In the name of Jesus. And take all the glory, dear Lord. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Everyone says,